NFL Podcast has had enough of the offseason.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined in a conference room filled with some heroes. Chris Wessling, right across from me.
Hey, Dan.
You hear that? Wes, you hear that?
What is that? I hear something.
It's like a mist. I see a shadowy figure. Not a league figure.
Shadow.
A mysterious.
Scrounging.
Slender. Good physical shape.
Specimen.
How you doing, guys?
Mark! Welcome back.
He's alive!
Welcome back, Mark.
Thank you. I
from the wilderness.
I have to say that I think I cracked the code on how to schedule summer vacation, and I will literally be doing this next year and every year after that I'm employed here, is you have to sandwich your to backload your vacation and sandwich it around the July 4th week, because it was my intention to be in here that week of shows and to be plugging away, but then the week previous, when I was somewhere on the East Coast, you guys recorded the July 4th episode.
Right.
So I simply had no responsibilities at all that week, and it turned into this epic work stay away.
So you were here. We're piecing some of this together now in real time, Wes and I. So you were here that July 4th week, quote-unquote, working.
I mean, I was here. Working is a stretch. I mean,
because you know. there was some thought, and I know you're – when you're on vacation, don't expect it to be tracking the podcast closely or even
sure.
Twitter. You didn't seem active on social media. There was some thought on the show and amongst the audience that perhaps you'd finally done it. You had detached from the mainframe and gone on to the next thing in life, whatever that may be, including working at a CVS somewhere in middle America.
I mean, I pondered all the possibilities because suddenly, and Wes, I would imagine you're the only one that could really even have had this experience where when you're away for 3 weeks from this show, which we've done religiously outside of being gone or maybe a week here or there, I started to forget that I was even on this show. I started to, like, I didn't listen to a lick of it. So you're right. I had no idea what was happening. And I would say that I missed it, but it was a very strange experience. And this sounds cheesy, but it made me think. Last night I was like, I kind of miss these guys. Like, I have not done a show with these people in so long, and so the three of you, and Greg is not here today, but I wanted just to say that it's great to be back. It was very awkward to be. So if this thing comes to a crashing halt at some point, the transition will be rough for all of us, I predict.
We felt the same way. We said we missed Mark, and it did feel like a long time. We didn't really see or hear from you either, and then you started piecing together other things, like you dropped the NFL from your Twitter handle.
Very coincidental.
Your desk looked more Spartan than ever.
That's been the case for a while. But the name drop of the NFL I've been working on for a long time, and it triggered immediately when I took the vacation, so it is suspicious.
And Greg made the good point on our last show that I think we all kind of felt, although we would have missed you so much, that like Ben Affleck's character in Good Will Hunting, the best part of his day was walking up to Damon's house and hoping that he wouldn't be at the door to go to the construction site, because he had just left without saying goodbye, Damon.
Right.
Gone on to something that kind of appeased him, fulfilled him as a man. And if that would have happened to you, we would have all been sad, but we also would have been like, we get it.
Greg may be less sad than the rest, but
some birds aren't meant to be caged.
No, and I Matt Damon has life options that I do not have, so I'm back.
All right, so Mark's back. We're getting there. We're getting close to getting I'd use the pop culture reference with the Avengers. There's some type of stones or something.
Infinity stones,
Infinity
I think.
Infinity stones?
You looked at me when you asked that.
You collect the stones, and then when you get them all, you win the battle against the monsters?
In a big glove, yes.
In a glove?
Yeah.
Oversized glove?
It's like a metal glove that fits whoever's hand.
You know about this.
I've seen it because I have kids that are obsessed with it.
So. That's what we're going for.
Yeah.
We want all the infinity stones that they are?
Yeah.
In the giant power glove. Remember the power glove in Nintendo?
Yes, I do.
I'd say we're
only the rich kids had the power glove.
We're more like kidney stones than infinity stones. But
no, yikes.
That improv class.
really
Ricky's back. I love it. I love we're in these conference rooms, and Ricky's not behind the glass, but right next to us. It feels like a different show, and I like it. I also like that every time we go to a new conference room, it reminds me, it brings back bad memories of meetings connected to this show. This was the room where it was, again, there were probably 12 people here. We were on one side of the table, all these Shadow League figures on the other, being shouted down at. I don't even need to get into what it was about, but being told that we couldn't do something for the show that we wanted to do. It was spearheaded by a bald man. That's all I'll say.
A very serious,
Serious-minded,
bald man.
Self-serious bald man who told us we couldn't do what we wanted to do, and now he's gone as well. So that's the other nice little recurring theme, all these evil Shadowy League figures who stood in the way of our great podcast, our humble podcast, just being washed away while we survive.
It's got a sinister feel. I did hear one thing that you two did a show together and people gave it high ratings.
Really?
Which that put me ill at ease also. Just thought maybe they've found something better than what we have already.
I'm never sure how to figure out where to find these ratings.
Wes and I took note of it. We had a private dinner to discuss options. Just leave it at that.
I don't think the Greg Mark pod would do as well.
All right. This is the Monday edition of the Around the NFL podcast. A lot to get to. It is still the quiet season, but things are starting to percolate now. Think of it like an old graveyard in the Thriller video, during the interlude, where all of a sudden things start moving, going bump in the night, because the NFL is slowly coming back to life.
Corpses coming out of the ground.
It does sound like a horror show, but it's back, and we next week teams will report. I think teams are even reporting this week, right, to training camp, or is it next week?
I think it's the 21st.
So we're getting there, and once that happens, not only is the new NFL season in full swing, essentially, we will go back to three times a week when that happens. But for now, we have another week of two shows. And on today's show, July 15th, still, very... it's the middle of the summer, so let's not get crazy about like we're in the middle of the league here all of a sudden.
Yeah, money's drop at the beginning was a blatant lie. We are not ready for the
not at
what
all.
Was it go impatient for the season to start or something like that?
No,
total fabrication.
A couple weeks we were at West Manor. What did we call your
Wesselvania? I don't know.
Wesselvania. over the weekend, had a great time. I brought the boys and my wife Emily, and you really have brought the spirit of Tybee to the west side of Los Angeles. You got people, you have lepers coming, you have neighbors across the street, neighbors next door, friends, family, foes. Everyone's welcome at Wesselvania.
Well, I like inviting people to things, but also I think when you've been through something like cancer, like to me, one of the reasons I'm into cooking now is one of my life goals is just to surround myself with people I enjoy being around and totally shun the rest of society.
I like that you're bringing foes over, though, according to Dan.
And so lepers.
Well, not foes, just neighbors.
delicious ragu, Wes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I made the ragu that I talked about making for a dead man, Anthony Bourdain.
That's right. That's right on our previous show. Check it out. All right. Anyway, so July 15th. What if we made some predictions 3 months from today, October 15th of 2019? That will be the Tuesday... just so you know, after week 6 completes. Monday Night Football is the 14th. It's a matchup between two teams. I forgot who the matchup was. It's fine. But week 6 complete, where will we be in the NFL? So a couple of predictions each. But before that we do that, how about some news?
Come back, Colonels, with Mark Sessler. 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 Come back, Colonels, with Mark Sessler.
The range of your voice, Dan.
You missed us. You missed me.
That song I did not miss. Gonna be real with you there.
Let's get into it. Ezekiel Elliott, according to a report from Pro Football Talk, he has privately said that he's planning a training camp holdout. Oh, boy. Okay, so, of course, last week, Melvin Gordon of the Chargers said he was looking to hold out until he gets a new deal. And Zeke might be in the same boat, per a league source. He is saying he will hold out training camp. He wants a new contract. But unlike Melvin Gordon, Zeke Elliott, Wes, is not in a contract year. But he wants to get that guap, and he wants it now. Anything to be worried about here as a Cowboys fan?
Well, it's Charles Robinson from Yahoo added some context to this report, and he's basically saying talks have been ongoing, and this week will be very important as far as the, I guess, tenor of those talks. If it's positive, that's all Zeke Elliott needs to know, and he's going to report for camp. But if it goes haywire and it goes sideways, then he knows in his back pocket, I can hold out a training camp and see if I can force their hand. Unlike Melvin Gordon, this guy is the engine that makes the offense go, and he is their team identity.
Yeah, it's almost like Gordon's trying to make that argument, but Zeke doesn't need to make it because it's clear as day that their offense, once again, will evolve around him entirely. And that's one area where I kind of trust Jerry Jones because he is very faithful to his star players and, you know, for years probably got criticized for overpaying his own guys, but they're not going to allow this, I think, to turn into some sort of monstrous holdout. No way.
Well, here's the thing. Whereas Melvin Gordon does not carry the Chargers the way Zeke does the Cowboys, Gordon also has injury issues, which has not been an issue with Zeke, but Zeke has off-the-field issues, which would be something I guess could potentially give a team pause. However, I don't think this is going to be a situation like you think back. What did the Cowboys do the last time they had an elite rusher who wanted money, DeMarco Murray? They just ran him into the ground, waited till the contract ran out, and got the best years out of Murray and then let him go. I'd be surprised if it happens with Zeke because he is kind of, in some ways, with Dak and Jarrah, the face of the franchise. And I think they'll get a deal done. This feels like something that will get done, whereas with Melvin Gordon, I don't see it.
I think he's like, so Zeke makes just north of $9 million next season, 2020. And he's looking at Todd Gurley scheduled to make $17 million plus in what is going to be a reduced role going into this year. It's like it makes complete sense for Zeke to say, pay me now.
The way DeMarco Murray played in his career year, that's the way Zeke plays every game. Like that's the production you expect out of him every single game. And I think that's the difference. The Cowboys know that he's their best player.
Let's move on. Today, Monday, was the deadline for franchise-tagged players to get deals done. And we got a couple here that did get done, and one notable name did not get done. Let's start with the guys that got it done. Grady Jarrett and the Falcons agree to a four-year, $68 million contract. That from Rap Sheet. The deal comes with $42.5 million in guarantees. They got the deal done a little more than an hour to spare ahead of the 4 p.m. Eastern deadline on Monday for franchise tag players. He had signed his tag for $15.2 million back in April, and the two sides kept working at it. And where does that put Jarrett now? $17 million per year average on the four-year pact places Jarrett behind only Aaron Donald, $22.5 million, and Fletcher Cox, $17.1 million, among interior defensive linemen. Wes, does he deserve to be in that neighborhood?
Yeah, based on the timing of this contract and the franchise tag, he deserves it. I think if you look at his breakout game, basically came in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. I believe he had three sacks. And since then, he's been in sort of the Geno Atkins, Jarrell Casey tier, just behind Aaron Donald and Fletcher Cox, who I think are accepted as the two better ones there.
I think he's versatile. He's been totally consistent. He's 26 years old. He could get a third contract from the Falcons at some point. And their front office finds a way to get these deals done. And this is a major bounce back defense this year because of all the injuries they had last year. You're getting them all back, and he's at the center of it.
Another big-time star of the Falcons looking for deals, Julio Jones, the wide receiver. Rap Sheet reports that Jones, an extension, is now the Falcons' quote, most pressing priority, but it could take a while. So keep an eye on that. Another player who got a long-term deal ahead of the deadline. Robbie Gould is staying in San Francisco. After all this, Robbie Gould signs a deal. Tom Pelissero reported Monday that the Niners and the kicker agreed in principle on a long-term deal. They had up until the deadline today. And why is this a surprise? It's a four-year deal worth $19 million, first 2 years, fully guaranteed from Rap Sheet. Why is this a surprise? Because Robbie Gould's been putting it out there. He didn't want anything to do with staying in San Francisco. There's some tough talk on both sides here. A lot of people were connecting Gould to Chicago. And the song's so good.
It's fantastic.
It gets better every time we play it. But at the end of the day, money talks and blank walks, Mark Sessler.
I like watching Wes move his body right now to this music.
Shaking two halves of butt.
This whole thing was a bit mystifying because he was talking about wanting to be close to his family in the Midwest. Well, you know what makes a family feel connected? How about millions of dollars flowing into your checking account? That connects families.
This guy's
sure
like,
does.
He's like the Nick Caserio of kickers. You think he's out the door. He doesn't want anything left to do with his old employer. And they pull him back in.
And guess what? Now you can take a private jet to Chicago whenever you want.
Please.
He's building that house. No problem.
Now the Bears don't have a kicker. Well, they still don't
have a
kicker.
I mean, if this was their plan, like they, you know, that was just reaching to begin with.
Maybe a better plan than signing a guy named Blewett.
Yeah. At least they got Blewett out of the building. What a disaster. One player did not get his long-term deal ahead of Monday's deadline. Jadeveon Clowney. The two sides, the Texans and Clowney, failed to get business done. Didn't sound like it ever got serious. It was serious about happening. I heard, I was doing some, you know, reading this morning. I heard that part of the issue between Clowney and the Texans is Brian Gain, Pearl River's finest, who is no longer with the organization. He wanted an extension for Clowney. Bill O'Brien, not so hot about the idea. Gain gets washed out, and Bill O'Brien, they're not even hiring a general manager this season. So it's Billy O'Brien's show there, so perhaps connect the dots.
Dan, you have been, perhaps on this podcast, the most vocal Texan supporter over the past couple of seasons.
I'd say so.
Are you a little worried about the, I guess, chaos? Chaos is the word I'm thinking of?
Mm-hmm.
Who's running this ship, and what's the future like? Because there's not much depth on this roster. It's very star-heavy.
I get it, and the idea that they're antagonizing Jadeveon Clowney and perhaps not looking to keep a star pass rusher. We just talked about it on last week's show. I don't know if he's in the superstar club. I don't have him in mind, but he is obviously a big-time impact player.
I bet his contract demands are in the superstar club.
Absolutely. So you want to keep those guys healthy and productive, and I don't know if it's a smart idea not to do business with Clowney, but it doesn't sound like they're going to. To your greater question, you know what? Bill O'Brien seems like maybe a prickly guy to deal with, but they've had results under him. I know not Super Bowl results, but that team has been very competitive. They're defending division champions, and they have in Deshaun Watson, a guy that you could build around for a decade. I think they're okay. I know it's not the deepest roster, but I think they're going to be competitive in that division. Regardless,
if you got the last 2 years of Clowney over the course of his career, would this just have been done last offseason or before? Because now you have to ask, like, you call him a star pass rusher, but sacks aren't his number one trait. I think he does a lot well, but how do you pay him like Von Miller? I think that's a tricky
question.
Contract.
It's, speaking of Watson, he was, of course, and Mark, this is breaking news to you, but he was added to the superstar club.
Well, this one, you know, like, I did not spend a lot of time on Twitter, but it was hard not to gauge the reaction to this piece that you wrote last week.
Highly critical, the reaction. It started building like a snowball turning into, what do they call it, giant snowball? Is it the avalanche?
Yeah. I mean, the end game would be an avalanche.
Like the Indiana Jones type thing, only it got big. It was chasing after me.
Sure.
I don't think there's a name for that other
than
giant snowball.
That was a boulder, by the way, but fair enough.
Yeah, I know. but like the snowball version of a boulder is what I meant.
Okay.
Snowboulder. Anyway. It started to pick up the heat and the criticism because not only did I put Watson in, I took Tom Brady out. And, you know, even Barstool took the stinky cheese.
Really?
Yeah, they wrote a whole article up about it and could have predicted that. They weren't happy with it. They gave a nuanced take on why the NFL.com reporter was wrong, which, you know, whatever. Thanks for amplifying my piece. I'll take the clicks.
Really handled this well. You haven't mentioned. I had no idea there was this kind of strife going on in your life.
I mean, Will Brinson turned on you a little bit, I thought, on Twitter today. Not a, I wouldn't turn as strong, but he
a heel turn.
Sort of asked you where you were coming from, and you openly acknowledged, if I saw your response, that you had no idea what you're doing.
When you write something in a Starbucks on a Thursday night in early July about football, sometimes you write it and then you just send it off to your editor and you forget about it. What I forgot about is when there's nothing going on in the NFL and you write that Tom Brady's no longer a superstar and it's on the NFL.com platform, a lot of people are going to write about that and people aren't going to be happy. But I could take it. You see these shoulders, Wes? Powerful.
I agree.
Put it on
you.
Me.
And you know what else? None of it matters. It doesn't matter what their opinions of Tom Brady. It doesn't matter what your opinion of Tom Brady is or their opinion of your opinion.
Whoa, slow down.
I'm not sure Dan agrees with that.
Slow down.
September 8th football games are going to start, and what you thought about Tom Brady in July is going to mean nothing.
Take it easy. Unless I'm right, because then I'll be bringing it up on a near constant basis. One of these days I will be right. Moving on, this came out late last week, a report in the Wall Street Journal that part of the negotiations toward the new CBA involve the pitch of an 18-game season coming from the league side. This is something we've heard for years now, but now it's something that's kind of tangible that you could talk about because it's part of the negotiations. Union Executive Director Demoris Smith confirmed that report, essentially, and had this to say about it. I don't see an 18-game schedule under any circumstance being in the best interest of our players. If somebody wants to make an 18-game proposal, we'll look at it. I haven't seen anything that makes me think that it would be good for the players. Thoughts? Mark, you're not happy about it.
Well, to me, it's pure greed. It's the concept of just more and more and more. This football has thrived in this age of media and television because its biorhythms are set perfectly to American schedules, and we don't need two extra games. And the whole concept of adding games was to remove preseason games. You're now telling me that I get why the players don't like it. What's in it for the fan that has to decide when they're buying tickets to a game which one is going to suddenly have quarterback X starting instead of a star player if you're going once a year because the tickets already cost a bundle? How do coaches have to suddenly treat their rosters like fantasy football lineups where you're shuffling offensive linemen and star players, and outside of injury, you're going to have to take your best players out two games a season? I mean, it's riddled with issues. I don't see a single thing about it that makes sense to me at all. I'd love to hear someone come up with a reason why it's better for anyone at all.
Wes, will anyone think about the fantasy teams, too? What have you, 18-16 proposal, or your biggest stars are playing 2 weeks? Come on!
Well, there's all these can of worms that will be open, and Mark alluded to that. But, you know, you have to satisfy the player health thing first. And if you find a plan that makes sense where they knock preseason games down to, like, one for established players and one for roster hopefuls, and then make it 18 games, but players have to sit for two games. But then how do you – that kind of makes sense to me. You're starting to satisfy – the players get an extra bye week, so you're satisfying some of that. But at what point do you solve the quarterback issue? You can't have quarterbacks sitting for two games and then play backups, and that decides who goes to the playoffs.
Well, one idea is that they put all this protection in for certain players, including, of course, quarterbacks. What if they are exempt from the sit for two games? But, you know, other players that are in – you know, more high-risk positions, put it that way, would be eligible for such a thing. I mean, it just seems a little – you know what? Everything's perfect the way it is.
Right.
Like Mark was saying, it's 16 games is perfect. I know it's not as – it doesn't make as much money, but it just works, and it's worked since 1977 or whatever, and there's no reason to mess with it.
When are you starting the schedule, by the way? Are we suddenly starting the regular season in August, or are we going to go deep into February? Well, give me a break on that front.
You guys know, because this has been reported for at least 6 or 7 years, there is a plan to have $25 billion in revenue by, what, the year 2024? Or 2020? One of those. Somewhere in the 2020s, they want $25 billion in revenue.
I want the exact year, Wes, before you go on with your point.
Touche. Anyway, like growing it internationally and growing it through more games are the two ways to get more money.
I'll give the final word, because it's a great one, from D. Smith. If a coal miner is willing to spend more time in the hole, that is correct terminology, we use that all the time back in Florida, does it likely result in more money? Yeah, Is that a good thing for him as a person? Probably not. That's the question nobody confronts. It's easy to say it's more money, but is it good for us? The answer is no.
Can we
think about the coal miner?
Can we stop comparing millionaires to coal miners, please? I mean, it's just a humble request. Please stop comparing coal miners to millionaires.
Moving on, retirements. It's retirement season. Players decide they're quitting, hanging up the cleats. Derek Morgan's one of them. The linebacker told ESPN he's retiring at the age of 30. My purpose in life is bigger than the game, Morgan said, amongst other things. The number 16 overall pick, 2010 out of Georgia Tech. Morgan spent his entire career with the Titans, compiling 305 tackles, 44.5 sacks, 26 pass defended, 5 forced fumbles, 6th all-time in sacks in Titans Oilers franchise history. The linebacker missed 3 games in 2018 due to shoulder and knee injuries. He was a free agent, and he walks away.
A starting pass rusher with 0.5 sacks on the entire season did not get any interest on the open market.
Time to walk away. Sometimes you get retired.
Sometimes the NFL retires you, but this guy seems like a bright guy who's got a lot of prospects ahead of him.
More trouble for the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line. Clint Bowling has called it a career. The team announced Monday, 4th-round pick out of Georgia in the 2011 draft. He started 112 of his 114 appearances for the Bengals, a rock for that team on their line. Started for them last year, but he dealt with, and Mark, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. You've dealt with, unfortunately, some issues with blood clotting. Have we talked about that on the show? If not, we'll take this
I
right
believe
out.
We have. No, we have. We have.
You've had some blood
clots.
It's come up. Yeah, anyway, Marissa Contepelli of at Bengals Marissa said, after speaking with Clint Bowling today, he indicated a blood clot in his right leg was discovered after the season ended. He met with a number of specialists this offseason, but decided it was ultimately about his family, said he's excited to chase around his daughters this fall. Go ahead, Mark.
I mean, to me, the only thing that confuses me a bit is that I've been hospitalized 3 times for blood clot issues.
Reverse humble brag.
I guess that is I am bragging about that on some level. I'm not. It was, yeah. The 2 of the times is because I was not on medication. And if you're on blood thinners, you essentially cannot get a blood clot. So I don't know if the issue would be, if this is the primary reason he's retiring, is that you can't play on blood thinners. I guess that could be dangerous also. But when I read that, it kind of threw me because it's something that a lot of people deal with and continue to work, but they work in offices. They don't get smashed by defensive tackles necessarily.
Quite a difference.
And yes. As you remember, 2019 first round pick for Cincinnati, Jonah Williams, tore the labrum in his shoulder. He's also out for the season. So,
they have issues.
There's a sneaky level of optimism around your former love, Wes, the Bengals, that was Zach Taylor there. Perhaps they can turn things around and start going in a more successful, maybe a more exciting direction.
Except that it's a franchise with no distinct interest in winning.
Well, that's a problem. But if you don't have anybody to protect the quarterback and to block for the running backs, it's going to be a tough go. We'll see what they can do.
Well, I think at various points in this offseason, you've heard Mark, Greg, and myself say the Bengals might be better than people think they are. That has slowed to a halt and skidded to a fiery crash with their offensive line being even worse than it was last year. Well, I mean,
that's why I held back. That's why I didn't hear
you. A measured response.
I didn't say Hansa said the Bengals would be better than people think.
I just said Tom Brady sucks now. That's all I said. All right. And in suspension news, Richie Incognito suspended 2 games for violating the personal conduct policy. That goes back to an April incident at an Arizona funeral home. I will not get into the details here, but if you want to hear some bizarre stuff, and again, it makes you wonder what the Raiders were thinking, perhaps bringing this man in their building, but I guess he can block giant men trying to kill the quarterback, so you give him a shot. But he is suspended 2 games. Also suspended, my boy Chris Herndon, a very promising tight end for the Jets, a guy that really flashed as a 22-year-old rookie last year. He is suspended 4 games for a DUI. I was a little surprised when I saw 4 games. Usually it's not that heavy, but then I read about some of the details of the DWI. It was not pretty. It involved an accident that injured other people, and he was very drunk at the time of the accident, according to the local police. So Chris Herndon, I really like you as a player, but get your head on straight, son.
It's kind of the worst situation if you're Sam Darnold to roll into a pretty rough early season schedule without your tight end. I just would want my second-year quarterback to grow with that very promising tight end.
It's not ideal. He'll be back week five.
I think the one thing about the NFL that confuses me the most is how many chances Richie Incognito gets to play in the league.
You said it. I mean, we don't need to get into that incident, but it is a colorful incident, and he finds ways to get suspended and punished to a degree of variety that few other players have.
Well put. Finally in the news, this under a headline from Pro Football Talk, would Mike Vrabel cut his genitals off to win a Super Bowl? Play it, Ricky.
Would you cut your genitals off for a Super Bowl?
Yeah. Been married 20 years. Yeah, probably.
You've got three.
As a player. I guess we'll be married for 20 years one day.
Would you? If you came home holding a bag of ice, and Jen was like, "Oh, honey, what'd you do?"
She'd be like, "I thought you already got fixed.
I made the ultimate sacrifice.
I had to cut my dick off, honey. We're gonna win a Super Bowl." She'd be like, "Eh, all right." Or would she be upset?
She'd probably be on board.
She would be like, "Do you want me to do it? You want to do it now?"
Mike Vrabel, a student of the Al Bundy School of Comedy. He was a guest on a podcast hosted by Titans left tackle Teller Luan and former Titans linebacker Will Compton, and you heard that whole exchange. Vrabel won three Super Bowls with the Pats, but he'd give it all up. He'd say sayonara to the manhood, Wes, if it meant winning a title for the Titans.
Well, unbeknownst to you, maybe there are teams who already asked that question during the combine.
It's such like a 90s like married guy thing to do. It's like, hey, I don't need it no more. Hey, I've been married a long time. That thing's useless to me at this point. Am I right over here?
In this scenario, is he this age when this procedure happens and he suddenly becomes like magically a better player? I don't know. The whole thing makes
sense. Wait, what? Say that again?
So he is saying he would love to win another Super Bowl, and in exchange he would give up this very valuable part of his body.
No valuable no more.
But is he would be this age? What team would need him
without his
genitals?
He would give up his genitals to be the head coach champion of the Titans.
From a coaching, I don't know. I think it's a heavy sacrifice to make. I don't think that nothing seems that important. It's materialistic.
Take my wife, please. That's what's happening in the news. All right, let's see. Let's get into it, boys. Stop messing around. How you enjoying it, Mark? You feel back in the flow?
I mean, we are in a very strange. Every couple minutes I look up and there's like a corporate worker staring at us from one of their desktops computers.
Can they hear? Is this soundproof?
I don't know. That part of it's awkward. But
I'm wearing sunglasses.
The show is going okay. Otherwise.
This is my new look, by the way. I'm now a shock jock.
Dan is wearing his sunglasses with the Bose Bluetooth technology inside.
Hey.
The man wears.
Hey.
There we go.
I mean, right. If we weren't concerned about our employment here before, it's starting to head into that territory.
Let's get into it. Fearless predictions for October 15th, 2019. We each will go around. We'll go around the horn twice here, throwing out some fearless predictions we have for the new season through week six. Mark, would you like to get us going? Let's have some fun.
All right. So one thing that does concern me that I'm noticing that's picking up too much steam this summer is the hype around my Browns. And I'm naturally just concerned in general about the other shoe dropping with a vengeance. But October 15th would kick off essentially Cleveland's bye week. And I am predicting that at that time, and I'm not trying to be a downer here or play some sort of psychological warfare with anyone, that they are going to be a 2-4 team with the media turning on them extremely violently. They open with the Titans, Jets, Rams, Ravens, Niners, and Seahawks. I predict they will beat the Titans and 49ers and lose out the rest of that opening six-game slate. People will be asking, what is up with Cleveland's offense? What's up with Cleveland's secondary? What is up with Myles Garrett? Will Baker Mayfield survive behind this line? Is Steve Wilks the wrong fit for this defense? Is Freddie Kitchens completely underwater? Should we be concerned that Odell Beckham this time around used a Bic lighter to set a kicking net on fire along the sideline after dropping a would-be game-winning touchdown pass and that awful Week 2 loss to the Jets? What happened to the feel-good vibes of last season? Can we trust the Haslams to not blow up the machine again? Does this entire season hinge on Cleveland returning from the bye and knocking off the New England Patriots in New England?
You left out Todd Monken clashing with the head coach. You left that one out.
That might be the spark that sets it all off, and that has already happened according to some reports. So
your preamble included something about not playing psychological games here.
Well,
this is
a reverse jinx.
Classic reverse jinx, which is fine. I do the same thing.
I have noted that it is not psychological warfare, so you have to believe me on that. But I do think that schedule, Titans, win or loss, who knows? And I think that's kind of a team, Cleveland, that's going to take time to gel. I'm not sure that's going to happen in training camp.
You'll be fine against
the Jets game freaks me out just because it's all this energy between us and the show about it. I see that going.
It'll be a close game.
It's going to be rough. Yeah. The Rams is very rough. I think the Ravens could win that division. The 49ers, I think it's in San Francisco. And then the Seahawks,
Let me spin it the other way here. You got the Titans at home. Come on. Mariota's going to throw for 112 yards.
Not if Mike Vrabel, goes through with his plan here. I mean, that's concerning evidence.
At Jets, the Jets are no powerhouse. Come on, let's not go crazy here.
They won't even have Herndon.
I just think that they
are going.
Cleveland is losing that game because it's too much remembered from last year. I think there's going to be a flip-flop there.
What if we let it play out?
All right.
home to the Rams. Tough
don't
game,
like that
but
at
not
all.
As hard as if you were on the West Coast. At Ravens, tough game. Tough game. At Niners, the big bell bottom. Is that scary to go into San Francisco?
That's the other win I gave them.
And Seattle at home, which will be tough. But again, you're in your building. You'd play well there.
Now, I would say if I were to continue the prediction, I think they're going to round into shape. But I think it's going to be a rough start. And where the media, this is a scenario where if they struggle early, it is going to be absolutely rough and tumble ugly for the way the media is going to treat Cleveland. They are going to pounce because they've already acted like they've won 3 Super Bowls. They won 7 games last year.
It'll be viewed as a personal affront to the national media if Cleveland doesn't back up all the, puff pieces and praise.
What could go wrong?
They're going to take it personally. Wes, you're up.
We spent the whole winter making our little jokes. Sports writers did. Oh, then everybody got to hire the next Sean McVay. All these offensive gurus. You could be 28 years old and get a job. That was the offseason conversation. The October 15th discussion is going to be, we need an ancient defensive coordinator. We need a master defensive mind because the best minds in the game are Bill Belichick, Vic Fangio. Who's the guy from the Ravens? Wink Martindale. All these old dudes, Bum Phillips, Mike Zimmer, and they're the best defense. And people are going to be asking.
Wade Phillips. Bum.
Oh yeah,
great
Bum,
coach.
Son of Bum.
He's no longer with us.
Instead of praising all these offensive young minds, people are going to be asking, why do you have to be ancient to run a good defense in the NFL?
Do you think it's because some of these offensive minds, for instance, the Bengals' new coach, some of these guys are going to struggle through week 6?
I think
6?
It's because Vic Fangio is going to blow the door off people with Bradley Chubb and Von Miller and a guy like Shelby Harris, who was lights out down the street for the Broncos, and they're going to be returning to Super Bowl 50 form on that defense.
Look at you carrying the torch for Denver again.
I just like Vic Fangio.
And their quarterback.
Well, I think the quarterback's way better than other people think he is. So, yes.
Wonderful.
I like that.
All right. That's a good one. Week 6 in the books, 2019. Anybody else have any other thoughts about that? So you're saying where's the young dogs?
I'm saying it's an inherently experience matters way more on defense than it does on offense. On offense, you're creative. You are bringing the action to the defense. The defense is responding to what the offense is doing.
Got it.
And I think experience really helps because you've seen it all, you've been around, you can take different bits from your past.
So and it's contingent on the young, new faces on offense succeeding, and that is an unknown at this point.
Well, take Fangio himself, who was great with the 49ers when he was there, but last year, what did he spend all last year doing in practice? Going against Matt Nagy, who's got the Andy Reid offense. Matt Nagy's own offense was impressive. Like, he's one of these bright young minds, and I think Fangio has been defending against that for a while.
I'll throw one out there. You know, a few weeks back on this podcast earlier in the summer, I threw out the possibility that Patrick Mahomes might not ever reach the heights of what he did in his first year starting. And I drew the Marino's 84 season as a parallel, that Marino was a Hall of Fame great even after 84, but never reached the same heights. And now I'm thinking about it more, and I'm like, why would I even want to put that out there? I'm going to go the other way.
On top of the Tom Brady stuff, you're going down this avenue.
Yeah, no,
too.
I'm
going
to go the other way, because why would I even – because then you know how we are. This is what we do for a living. So if Mahomes was struggling a little bit, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I nailed that. No, forget about that. I'm not going to get on that corner. Instead, I'm going to say by week six through week six, Mahomes will again be pacing the league in nearly every relevant quarterback statistical category, be the heavy early favorite for MVP, and essentially be the guy that tore the league apart last year. And strangely, and I say this, I don't know if this is more just in our studio or in my head or what, it's almost like Mahomes isn't getting enough love for what he accomplished last year, which was remarkable. And remember, this guy was probably playing in the Super Bowl last year. If his defense, his crummy Kansas City defense, could get a stop, the guy doesn't even get a chance to get on the field in the overtime of the AFC title game because Tom Brady, former superstar, marched right down the field and got it done. So I'm just going to say that Mahomes is going to be out of his mind again this year, put up stats that are going to approach what he did last year, even surpass it, because he is that once-in-a-generation guy. We were due for the next, like, mind-blowing athlete in the NFL, transcendent Michael Jordan-type guy. It is Patrick Mahomes. I'm getting behind it. He'll be tearing the league apart again by the middle of October.
I can't believe all that. Well said, well said. I can't believe you said he almost doesn't get enough credit. Like, people act like he invented the the left-handed pass that Brett Favre already did. They act like nobody's ever thrown it as far, like, outside of a stadium or whatever. Patrick Mahomes did not invent, like, the scrambling play where he has to improvise.
He invented the no-look pass. No one's done that in the NFL at that level.
Okay. He did not.
Give him that.
Okay. Here's a story. 1977 NFL skills competition in Hawaii. All these quarterbacks are there. Pastorini just throws it 20 yards further than Terry Bradshaw. Dan Pastorini is the Oilers quarterback at the time. They're back at the hotel drinking, a bunch of these quarterbacks. And
shocker.
Billy Kilmer dares Pastorini to throw a football up four stories of the hotel. Pastorini takes it out and throws it 10 stories. And here's the punchline.
Up, not down.
Here's the punchline. Unitas says, yeah, but his receiver was on the fifth floor.
So, you know, anybody could throw the ball over the mountains.
I'm saying, like, people have had strong arms before.
Right. And it was reported that Mahomes threw the ball out of the stadium in Arrowhead recently.
That also was not – that. Do you remember back in the day, remember the Arrowbee, the Frisbee? It's still around. Mm. It's the orange ring that has no center.
Yes.
And they threw that thing out of Giants Stadium. Someone later threw it across Niagara Falls. I mean, so, you know.
And what did it get that person?
It got nothing
not
for
a
that.
Thing.
I don't even know who it was who did it. So.
It's heck of an advertisement for that product.
Well, I had one of those, and you could literally throw it across, like we had, you could throw it through a neighbor's yard to the neighbor beyond.
Right.
Or and six neighbors if you had the arm.
When I was a kid, a teenager, you know the way it is with the season tickets package, where they basically rope fans into buying two home preseason games at price of a regular season game. So when my dad at his job, the only Jets tickets that would be floating around a lot were either games in December when they were already buried in the standings or those two preseason home games. So we went to a home game every year just about because some guy would be offloading the tickets in August. And always halftime. It didn't matter what year. It was like 1991 through 2003. Any preseason game we went to, it's the dude throwing the Frisbee 80 yards and the dog catching it. They just ran that thing back. I don't know if it's the same dog or what. But, yeah, you could fling that. It might have been the same Frisbee.
It is eternally entertaining, though. That's part of the reason. Dogs catch
beautiful
things
dog
at a deep distance.
All right. So Mahomes tears it up. Let's go one more time around the horn. Because I could be the guy that says he's coming down to earth. And I was that guy about 35 days ago.
I appreciate your about face.
I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the guy that says this guy's going to do things that's going to rewrite the history books. I'm on that train.
Well, you dumped that negative energy off you.
Thank you.
Why not be a positive force?
And then once the Jets actually become a contender, if they become a contender, then I will wish ill upon Patrick Mahomes and the rest of the Kansas City Chiefs. But right now I'm in that sweet spot where I can be all positive.
So you're a better person than Mark, who just, like, basically
just leave it right there.
voiced the Browns' problems into existence with his.
No, I liked what he did there. That was a beautiful reverse jinx.
I'm struggling with which direction to go, because I have one that is extremely negative and one that is...
I've got a negative one, too.
I'm going to go negative.
Okay, go ahead.
One head coach will be fired by week six due to... And I have been thinking about this for weeks. This is happening. One head coach will be fired by week six due to a wild scandal that grips the league early in the season and becomes a national and ultimately an international news story.
International.
Trump will weigh in on the topic. On
is this a sandwich prop?
No, this is a prediction that by week six, it is after the week six slate of games, that this scandal will eat up huge amounts of real estate on our podcast, on our Twitter show if that happens. It'll make Bountygate look like a chorus trip to Action Park. Remember that place, Dan?
That was very dangerous, Action Park.
I think that this is going to end where the owner of this team will be forced, due to overwhelming public pressure, to pull the plug after week six action to get rid of this coach. When the owner necessarily does not want to do it, but he has to.
It's all guesswork. I mean, what we're throwing out is no different than yours, but yours is just kind of predicting something with no there's not a
it
team you
be,
have in mind that there's
well,
something percolating.
Well, that's a little because it's so, going to be so negative that if I initially
is there something in your head
I
though?
Initially pinpointed someone and then I thought that's a little aggro
off air.
Yeah,
talk about it.
Yeah.
Is he north of Ohio?
No.
Okay.
Is he west of the Rockies?
No.
Can you get to his stadium off I-95
no more questions.
Corridor.
Does
no
he have a female questions. Owner?
No more questions.
All right. I hope that doesn't happen. It just sounds not only bad for that guy, and maybe he'll deserve it under whatever the circumstances are, but bad for us.
It's bad
doesn't
for us.
Doesn't sound fun to talk about.
Because we were here when Bountygate broke, and I'll never forget, he's going to hate this, but David Ely, who was early in his role, basically told me this is a non-issue. This is going to blow over pretty quickly, and it turned into a mushroom into an apex, total disaster.
You just
I
hurt him
it.
Worse than that girl. He basically just called his news judgment and said it was.
He has developed an incredible judgment of news since.
I would second that. He's very good at deciding what's news. And
I like Dave just fine.
And for the record, I will take you up on that sandwich prop, Mark.
Okay.
All right, Wes, one more.
I feel bad because I criticized this man's ability to play quarterback for a while. He proved me wrong.
Eli Manning. All right, let's get into it.
Nice.
And I really like him as a person and as a player, but my fearless prediction is that Nick Foles will still be seeking his first win in a Jaguars uniform.
Oh!
Ouch.
Oh. Okay. Let me take a look at the Jaguars schedule. That is harsh, Wes.
Well, I can tell you what the schedule is.
All right, you want to go ahead.
They have the Chiefs at home.
Okay, tough game, but winnable.
Tough game, and they don't have really the weapons to keep up with Kansas City if the Chiefs can score more than 20. At Houston, at the Texans, game number two.
Tough game.
Home versus the Titans.
Cupcake layup.
Titans, to me, are one of the 10 strongest rosters in the NFL. At the Broncos.
We know what you think about them.
Yes.
Well, nobody's beating the Broncos. That's an 18-0 outfit right there. 19-0.
At Carolina Panthers and the revamped front seven.
Tough. That's a tough sked.
Home versus the Saints.
Not a gimme.
I like their next game, though.
Right. That's why this works.
They travel to Cincinnati.
Right.
To face the punchless Bengals.
And then they start to get their sea legs, and then they trounce the Jets. In week 8, I see that coming. All right.
Jets will have Herndon back by then.
They will, and that's a big difference. I don't know. The way the NFL, the schedule makers, they're really good in that they seem to have almost like a seer-like ability to make sure teams stay above water, most teams. So, for instance, using the Jaguars as an example, could they trip up at home against the Chiefs in week 1? Yes. Could they go to Houston and lose? Absolutely. But then the schedule guys are like, hey, Let's give you the Titans at home. You're going to need
it. Why are you acting like the Titans aren't good?
You're going to need it. The Titans will have a win already, so they could deal with the loss. And everybody's going to be 1-2 and be fine going into
week 4.
Don't
the Titans own the Jaguars of late?
I'd have to look that up. I don't know.
I think even when the Jaguars had their really good season, the Titans were beating them.
All right. Yeah, their last head-to-head matchup, a 30-9 Titans win. Was that when Derrick Henry ran for like 1,000 yards in a game? Was it that particular game?
I feel like he ran for 1,000 yards in the entire second half of the season.
To answer your question, at least their last three games, the Tennessee Titans have prevailed. So two low-scoring affairs, 9-6 back in September last year, 15-10 on New Year's Eve the season before.
Well, I have respect for the Jaguars' defense, and I have respect for Foles, but I really – their offensive line is a mess. Their wide receiver core is a mess. Their running back didn't try last season. So, I mean, I don't know.
All right, I'll wrap it up with a little bit more negativity, unfortunately. You guys know, just like I wasn't on board with the Cincinnati bandwagon, I am not all here for the Jimmy G as a stud.
Okay.
Carnival.
Okay.
I'm sitting out that merry-go-round until I see him do it, and now he's coming off a catastrophic knee injury and all that. Not a great thing. So I'm going to throw this out there. By week 6, and you have to understand, this isn't all on Jimmy G. It's also about what's going on around the San Francisco 49ers, an organization that, despite a brain trust reboot, has found very little success in the John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan era, to the point where if they got off to a slow start in 2019, heads could roll. I think Shanahan probably be safe through the season, but Lynch is going to need answers. They're going to need to put up a season where they are competing for a playoff spot come December. And they can't afford to fall too far back in the standings. So what if Jimmy G isn't playing well? Because he wasn't playing that well before he got hurt last year, and now he's going to be rusty, and he's almost damn near 30 years old and still hasn't really played a lot at the NFL level. What if he gets off to a slow start, and the Niners are seeing their season slip away, and, oh, we have this guy, and I know he's getting ready. He's fixing, to use a Texan term, for a camp battle with C.J. Beathard. But Nick Mullins moved that team on offense last year. They kind of rallied around him. He was a nobody who showed up out of nowhere. And while not a perfect quarterback, he turned the ball over too much and maybe doesn't have all the traits you look for, not the biggest arm and whatnot. But he moved that team. He showed a lot of promise in his audition last year. Would they be perhaps tempted to turn it over to the kid if Jimmy G and the Niners got off to another slow start in 2019? That's a fearless prediction that they just might.
I would struggle to see that happening.
It's a lot of money tied up.
They have their bye early
on.
They have three games. Then they have a bye. And you're talking about someone that's making $20 million next year and $26 million plus over the next 3 years. So the only thing is if it went real, real rough, it could be part of the master plan where by trade deadline, they have shipped Jimmy G back to the Patriots, and the Patriots get him for less than they sold him. And they have their quarterback in place for the next 5 years. So be careful what you
I don't want
for.
That. But if you look at their schedule, at Bucks, and I know, Wes, Bruce Arians is at some country club right now. He's not even thinking about football. But
turn the team over to Leftwich.
Some people believe that the Bucks are going to be frisky this year, and they start with two road games, which is not easy, schedule makers.
Well, one's against the Bengals, cool. But fair.
At Bucks, at Bengals, but two road games, and then home to Steelers, bye, and then home to Browns, who – even if they do get off to a slow start, Mark, I think they're going to start piecing it together by the time you get to October. And
I've already told
dangerous.
You that San Francisco is winning that game.
I know, I disagree.
I've seen enough out of Garoppolo to be more optimistic than Dan, but it's worth noting that he is now, 28 years old? He'll be 28 in November, and his entire career is nothing but small sample sizes. We don't really know what he is yet.
And that last game, the Week 6 game, at Los Angeles. So if you stumble in those opening road games and then have trouble with the Steelers and Browns, then you're going to the Coliseum. The Rams need to do some business early. The Niners need to do some business early in the season, and they got a quarterback who's going to be knocking off rust. Just keep an eye on it. That's all.
Fair enough.
And I like Jimmy G, too. I want him to do well. I don't want to make it seem like I'm rooting for Jimmy G's career to go up in flames. But it's worth throwing out there that maybe he's not the – stone-cold lock franchise savior that we perhaps positioned him in. Is it possible, Chris Wessling, that Jimmy G's last five games of the 2016 season is the new Geno Smith's last two games of the 2014 season?
It's possible. I think it's much more likely that people are making too much of a deal out of struggling for 2.5 games at the beginning of last year.
I get that.
But like I said, his entire career is small sample sizes, so let's see what happens with 16 games.
Nice guy, too. Talked to him after that ridiculous Super Bowl win by the Pats when the Seahawks threw at the goal line. What were they doing there?
We've been over that a few times. But Wes and I actually, after the combine, flew from Indianapolis on a rather infamous flight. We were not sitting near Jimmy G, thankfully. But
was that in this conference room, the discussion afterwards?
There were some discussions.
Those were other rooms.
He couldn't have been nicer, though. We talked to him a couple times. Yeah. In fact, when leaving LAX, taking a taxi home, I saw him again. He's like, "You again?" Like, we ran into him like 3 or 4 times on this trip.
That was before he was drafted. You were still hoping he'd be the Browns quarterback.
I was.
There you go.
It might not have been a coincidence that he kept running into you.
Are you saying that perhaps Mark put himself in position for such encounters?
Some
low-level stalking, potentially.
There's a thin line between stalker and intrepid reporter.
They're very thin. And I crossed into both territories on that trip,
I was talking – we were at the bar, the tavern, after softball last week, talking to our star shortstop, masculine guy. But we kind of stumbled into a conversation where he discussed, despite being a straight man, he would – ponder some thoughts in the other direction. And he shocked me by just throwing out Jimmy G is head and shoulders the number one guy.
Yeah, he was quite adamant that Tom Brady is not in Jimmy G's class.
But Tom Brady also
– the former superstar.
That was a hot conversation 4 years ago. Tom Brady is aging rapidly according to time.
All right. So, yeah. No matter what happens to Jimmy G, he's going to be fine. What do you think, Ricky?
Yeah, he's okay.
Do you miss Jimmy G being a Patriot? Because wasn't he, as a Patriot fan, the ultimate security blanket?
Ultimately? Oh, it felt great having him back there. But I think it's going to come full circle. Where all of a sudden, there's going to be this crazy trade where we're going to get, like, George Kittle or something.
Wow.
Because we traded Jimmy G and out of nowhere.
You've been hanging out with Keisha too long.
So just
wait,
watch.
You're getting George Kittle in reverse for that trade?
A
make good?
Because everyone was like, what? Why did Jimmy G go to the 49ers out of nowhere? Like, this big deal. How could Belichick
do Kittle
this?
For, like, a fourth rounder going back to New England.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying this is
– or to San Francisco.
This is more premeditated as opposed to, like, karma just, like, deciding the
Patriots.
No.
This is like a Shanahan owes us now.
Well, it's a
And God knows you could use the
break.
That's
the best prediction we've heard all day, so –
So there was like a wink, wink, nudge, nudge part of the Garoppolo trade at the time?
Yeah, come on. We, scratch your back, I'll scratch yours later,
I haven't seen a lot of scratching for San Francisco so far. That's back to the original point.
I don't know.
I mean, when you're 1-10 and you win 5 straight games to end the season, I'm not going to put you in Canton. I know that's where everybody's at with this guy.
Well, exactly. So
that's why. He's a good kid.
That's why Belichick got rid of him.
Mark, he's a good kid. I met him.
I mean, I understand that you,
All right. We'll be back on Thursday. I hope that works out for you, Ricky.
Thanks.
With another edition of the pod. And then after that, are we doing 3 shows next week, Ricky?
Mm-hmm.
So this
back,
is it.
We're back to normal.
That's sobering.
It is. It very.
But we love our job. It's just shocking because the quote-unquote summer for us, while everyone's enjoying, late July's, we got another month of summer, going to the beach, hanging out with friends. Really, our summer is truncated or shifted from May through kind of mid-July. So it ends very quickly while everybody else is still just like right in the middle of it all. But don't cry for us, Argentina. And I know you won't.
We've been too busy having fun. We haven't had a chance to enjoy our summer.
Well, somehow we just push on, don't we?
Like, it should be a time for relaxation, and I feel like I'm tired because of my summer.
Yeah, just wait till you have kids. Am I right? Hey, I don't need this thing no more.
You are correct.
Hey, my wife don't need it. I don't need it. All right. That's it. This is Dan Hansen signing off.
Jesus.
Sign off for the mailman. The Quiet Storm. And Ricky Hollywood behind the glass. Till Thursday.